to do that. I certainly thank the Lord for the privilege of worshiping God in song. We're going to sing tonight, my two oldest and myself, we're going to sing a song entitled Freely. And it's just the idea that, you know, God has given to us so much, we ought to take what God's given to us and use it for Him. And so freely we receive, freely we should give.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption,
But see that, so it's in the spirit, shall the spirit reap life everlasting. It's all about what you put into the soil. You plant something good, it's going to reap something good. Plant something bad, it's going to reap something bad. And so a farmer, as a farmer looks at his field, he has to make a decision. First of all, am I going to do anything about that? And then what am I going to plant here? He's got to hopefully make some good decisions about his field. Now, if he neglects the field, then it's a guarantee he's going to reap weeds, he's going to reap thorns, and he's going to reap bankruptcy, right? And that's going to be a poor harvest that he gets out of that. And so just like that tonight, as we come to this truth of sowing and reaping in the Bible, we have to decide what we're going to plant in our field. If we neglect it and just say, well, I'm just not going to think about it, well, that's going to reap thorns, it's going to reap corruption, it's going to reap destruction, and sadly, very sadly, it's going to reap damnation. And so I really need to consider tonight, what do I want to plant? Okay, and I want to give us four things when we get started tonight that you can be planting in your field. There are four things that every one of us ought to be involved in getting that seed into our life. The first is this, you ought to sow prayer. Okay, you think about what can I sow in my life? I ought to sow prayer. Psalm 126, verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And the psalm is the Hebrew stall, psalm book for them, the song book where they would worship God. And they're worshiping God in praise, and they're saying, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What are they speaking about? They're speaking about the Babylonian captivity that they're just coming out of. And they're rejoicing that as they wept in prayer, God heard their prayers, and God delivered them. The interesting thing about the Babylonian captivity is that God said through his prophet Jeremiah how long it would be. And so he said it's going to be 70 years that this takes place. And so 70 years earlier, before God had answered the prayers, God gave them a promise in the Word of God that this would take place. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you, and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me. When somebody calls upon God, we call that prayer. And so you're going to pray. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found in you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God said, you're going to go into captivity to Babylon. You better yield to that, because that's of me. It's judgment against you. And so that group was taken into that captivity. They included a young man by the name of Daniel. Right? He's part of that captivity in Babylon. He's a Jew. He's there. He's enslaved to them. Daniel was a teenager when he entered into that. Well, 70 years later, he's an elderly man. He's an older man. But the Bible says he saw this promise about prayer. And Daniel was a praying man. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years where the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 7 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. So Daniel reads about it and says, God says prayer is the answer. Even though God had said 70 years is it. It's interesting. You're going to pray though. Daniel gets on his knees. So does a lot probably of those men. They began to seek God. And God answered them. And then we have this song. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know what we need to be sowing in our life is some prayers. We're praying right now about some different things going on in the church. We're praying about different things going on in our life. That's important. Why? Because there's going to be a harvest to those that sow in prayer. Secondly, you ought to sow generosity, giving to others and to God. Sow generosity. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Okay? Sow, and you're going to reap. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Okay? There's a blessing that God gives to those that give. I mean, that's just the way the Bible says it works, is that somebody that's stingy isn't going to have much, but somebody that's generous is somebody that's going to have much given to them. Last week at the baptismal service, I preached on Lydia and I preached on the jailer. Both of them were part of the church at Philippi. Okay? And Paul wrote a letter back to them because that church had been generous to him and had given to him to meet his needs. And Paul said this, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruits that may abound to account." That's sowing and reaping. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God." They planted into Paul's life their generosity, their goodness to him. And Paul said this in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know, I think we get a little bit scared by the health and wealth gospel that says give to get, when the Bible says that when we give with a tender heart to God, that God understands that, God sees that, and God is going to bless that, and God is going to meet our needs. We certainly ought to sow in our lives in generosity, giving to God and others. But then third, another seed that we got that we can plant in our life, we ought to sow righteousness. Okay, we ought to be planting in our life good works, good things that are righteous things in our lives. The Bible speaks about that. Hosea 10 verse 12. "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reaping mercy. Break up your fallow ground." Okay, it's the principle of digging into that soil, getting ready to plant some goodness. "It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Now, again, we talked already in Sunday school. Righteousness doesn't merit favor with God. I can't really be righteous except for God. It's only through Jesus Christ that I can be made righteous, and therefore I can have seed that I can plant that is righteous seed. And doing good things and doing godly things and getting sin out of my life and continually saying, "No, that's got to go away, that's got to go away," so I'm doing what's right and honoring God. Now, farming is tough. Okay, it is tough. Just I'm talking about physical farming. You can get wiped out one year, and maybe for the next 5 years. I mean, it just depends. You could have a really good year, bumper crop, or you could have a year where crops fail. Think about the things that farmers deal with: frost, hail, drought, disease, heat, cold, mechanical failure, floods. Right? I mean, if you're a farmer, you're not a quitter. And if you're a quitter, you're not a farmer, right? A farmer has to be that person that will not quit. Now listen, when it comes to righteousness, Satan is very quick to come to us and give us every reason in the world why we should stop. He'll say something like, "Stop honoring God on the Sabbath. Stop honoring the Lord's Day. It's not doing any good." Well, I was witnessing to somebody this past week. We're reading through the Ten Commandments. When I got to that point about the Sabbath, I said to him, "You know what? Our world has forgotten about the Sabbath. Has it helped our world? It's hurt our world. Our world acts as if there is no God. Why? Because they don't stop and honor God on the Sabbath. Satan wants us to quit that. He says, stop honoring God with your tithe. It's not doing any good. Stop guarding your speech. It's not doing any good. Stop dealing with sin in your life. It's not doing any good. Stop ignoring the old crowd. Stop reading your Bible. Stop praying to God. Stop obeying God's word. And if we quit, then we're not going to get the benefit of what God desires to do in our life if we'll continue to sow in righteousness. The harvest is coming because the Bible is true. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 9, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, as a parent, you decide, I'm going to be a biblical parent, I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to discipline my child according to the Word of God, and I'm going to be consistent, and I'm going to say, no, we're not going to have that in my home. And Satan comes and says, it's not doing any good. I've had parents tell me this, that it's not working. Listen, just keep it up. Why? Because the Bible says it's going to reap. But Satan wants us to quit, not just there in our parenting, but so many other areas of our right walk with God. And so we got to say, by God's grace, I want to plant seeds of righteousness in my life. And so we talked about sowing prayer, sowing generosity, sowing righteousness. And then the fourth seed that I want us to consider, as we're going to look at this truth about sowing and reaping, the fourth seed that I want us to think about is that of, you can probably guess, sowing the gospel. Right? The gospel seed that God has given to us. In the United States, back, I think, in the early 1800s, there was what was called the Oklahoma Land Rush. Okay? They opened up this area of territory to homesteaders to come in. And basically, it's like this. You get there, you stake your claim, and that's yours. I mean, it's open for whoever wants to take it. And I would say this to us tonight, that the open field of the world is there for believers that desire to get out and sow the seed of the gospel. I mean, you all have neighborhoods around you that need Christ, they need the gospel, that is whatever you want to take. I mean, that field is yours. You have that opportunity to carry that gospel seed into that area. Jesus told us to sow. I listened to a message, I think, yesterday. He said, in five times, God gave the Great Commission, all four gospels in the book of Acts, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've got the parable of the sower. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus speaks about sowing this gospel seed. He says, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed, that's the word of God, that's the gospel, fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And he explains later that the fowls are Satan. Satan wants to come and snatch that seed away. You know, you try to tell somebody about Christ, and some ungodly friend comes in and snatches that truth out of their heart. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And just like you plant something, it's got to have a depth of soil. If it's rocky, it's not going to have roots. If it doesn't have roots, it's not going to have life. And so Jesus is speaking, some of the seed falls into that, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no roots, and they withered away. And it's kind of like this. Somebody professes belief in God, but then tribulation comes. Persecution comes. Somebody makes fun of them, maybe for coming to church thinking about God, and they fall by the wayside. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And Jesus explains, that's the cares of this world. They get, hey, church isn't that interesting. Why? I gotta work, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta have these things. It's about materialism instead of God. And so they turn aside. But then the Bible says this, other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he says, you have ears to hear. And it's like this. Jesus is saying there is going to be a harvest. There is good soil out there. And when it comes, it's going to come 100 times. It's going to come 60 times. Hey, listen, praise God. You reach one, they reach 30. You reach one, they reach 60. You reach one, they reach whatever amount there the Lord said. Praise God, that harvest is there. Who's Jesus speaking to? He says, he that hears to hear, let him hear. Let me remind us, when Jesus gave a parable, it wasn't for the unsaved. It was for the disciples that were there, the future elect evangelists, the future missionaries, reminding them that God is able to save men's souls by the gospel. Jesus said in verse 11 to his disciples, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. The parable wasn't for them. The parable was for those future evangelists and missionaries. Look, do you believe that tonight? Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Well, if we do, then there's going to be a desire in our life to say, I want to sow that. I want to tell other people about what Christ did for them so that they can be saved. So think about tonight as we come to this truth. And the truth is this. You need to sow these good seeds in the field of your life. And that's a broad statement because we're talking about several different applications, but are you planting prayer? Do you have a prayer life? Are you giving? Are you giving to God's work? We talked tonight about your alms that come up before God. You know, we saw that in the life of Cornelius. God is aware of those that are giving financially to God's work. Are you sowing righteousness, saying, hey, I'm not going to have this worldliness in my life. I'm going to plant the good seed in my life of righteousness. And then, of course, the gospel. And so let's consider, we're going to look at sowing tonight, but with those ideas in mind, just as the Spirit of God speaks to our heart about what we need to be planting in the field of our life. And so let's pray, ask the Spirit of God to help us. as we come to the Word of God. Father, I praise you for the grace that you give. Thank you for these principles that we can look at in the Word of God and say, you know what? I need to sow these things in my life. And Father, we stop right here. We'd have a lot to consider this evening. But Father, our text is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and it's really about how we sow. We've considered just briefly what we sow. But Father, how we sow. And so I pray, Father, help us. We're going to think about all these applications, prayer, the gospel, righteousness, and investing in God's word. But Father, how do we do that? What is the methodology? What is the way in which we do that? May the Spirit of God help us. And Father, I pray that we really examine our life and say, you know what? I need to be doing these things in my life because there is going to be a harvest, no matter what. And so let's make it a good harvest. And Father, I pray tonight, if somebody hears this message or here tonight that's not saved, Father, we'd ask that the Spirit of God would bring them to salvation. Father, that they'd know the joy of life in Christ, so that that gospel seed would find a good home in their heart. And Lord, I can't speak as I ought to speak without the enablement of God. And so I pray, Father, the Spirit of God would loose my tongue to proclaim the truth of the Word of God in a way that would touch the heart of the hearer. And Father, give us ears to hear tonight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as you sow good seeds in the field of your life, I'm going to give us 7 points, but as often I do in my preaching, probably have noticed by now, they're going to be short points, okay? So we're going to be moving one to the next, to the next, to the next. But the first point is this: as you sow the good seed in the field of your life, sow broadly, okay? Sow broadly. Get that seed out there. It says in verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And if you're a young person or even an adult, you might read that and think, what's that talking about? He's out there having a sandwich, he's got some bread, feed the ducks, feed the birds or something. It's nothing like that. What their bread was made out of was seed. And so that could have been food for them. They could have used it to nourish their family. They could have kept it to themselves. But rather than keeping it to themselves and being a seed for bread, they let it be seed for planting that they put back into the field. And they would cast that out on the flooded field, that water that was there, and it would spread it out broadly. You know, again, as you think about these different things that we've talked about here tonight, are you sowing broadly? Could you say about these things, I'm casting my bread upon the water? Probably not if you're praying for 5 minutes a day. You know, you're just kind of praying for your family. You know, broadly is God, you know, my church family, my neighborhood, my community, my extended family, the missionaries that we've got in Northern Scotland and Ireland and Romania, the desire that we have as a church to see our community be impacted by the gospel, you know, I would say we gotta get that seed of prayer out there broadly. Get it over a lot of ground in prayer. Then what about when it comes to giving to God? You know, recently preaching upon tithes and offerings, but there's so many ways that we can give. We've got tithes, we've got offerings, we've got building funds, we've got missions, we've got friends that might have a need, somebody that we know about in our family that's got a need. There's so many ways that we can be just a generous person, giving of our time, giving of our talents, giving of our ability, but being generous for God. And then we can do good in a lot of different ways, giving out. I mean, kind words, actions, helping where you're able, like we talked about this morning. It's not just a desire to be kind, but if we can, to do something about that as we're able. When it comes to the gospel, you know, again, praise God, you just stop and think about our church and the numerous ways that we've got to get the gospel out. We've got flyers that we put out. We've got Edinburgh evangelism. We've got Facebook. We've got Facebook advertisements. We've got a church webpage. We've got multiple ways that we can send the gospel through emails, or we can send the gospel in a letter or something. But getting the gospel out to the teller that we're meeting, to anybody that God sees fit to bring across our path. You know, last summer our family traveled to the United States, and you might have heard about this. They kind of had what they called an inland hurricane in the center of the United States, right through the heartland, right through Iowa. where my mom and dad are from, and we traveled through this area after it took place, and what they called it was a derecho. Okay, and it's not really a hurricane, but it's hurricane force winds over a broad area. And it was amazing as we drove, fields of corn, the corn stalks, you know, some corn stalks would be 70 feet tall, but they were just flattened by this storm. A farmer that had sown broadly would have had maybe multiple fields, right? I mean, he might have had property here, property there, property there. And if that's the case, he's got some satisfaction, despite the derecho, that perhaps some of his fields would be spared. You know, again, as we do our evangelism, sometimes I've gone into Edinburgh, and it's interesting to witness in Edinburgh, because it's like you got somebody from China, somebody from Germany, somebody from Spain, you got somebody from Canada, you got the United States, you got France, and all these places, and you're constantly scattering the seed. And we might think as a church, well, we're not going to harvest that. Well, we may not, but there's going to be a harvest. And so it's just a reminder to us that as we sow, whatever we're sowing, let's get it out there broadly. Secondly, sow liberally. As you sow good seeds, sow liberally. It says in verse 2, give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Okay, as it's kind of like this. If you got the resources now, do something now. If you got seven people, you got eight people, get it out there as liberally or as generously as you can, because there may come a day where you can't do it. We get the updates, I don't know if you get the updates for Terry Gleason. We're still praying about what God's doing in their lives. They're back in Colorado now, and praise God, God has very much helped her. Her tumor is not going back, praise the Lord, it's still very small. But John said this, they're going out on the doors tomorrow. This was Friday, he was talking about Saturday, talking about door to door. And Terry really wants to go. And we say, hey, praise God, you know, that she's got that desire to get out there and knock on doors. But I would remind us, we've got a lot better help than Terry Gleason has, and we don't know in the future what is going to happen to our health. So what is this verse reminding us? Be generous while you can. Right? While you have opportunity, while you have strength, get it out there. Jesus said about a stingy farmer in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The interesting thing about that passage is not saying, this night thy soul is to be required of thee, prepare to meet thy God, prepare to be cast into hell. It's not saying that. It's saying that he had God's blessing, he had a lot of resources, but rather than using that, he used it for himself. He built big barns and everything. He's going to, you know, stockpile all this wealth, but then his life is taken. And what could have been used for God and for God's glory was wasted. And so the principle is, sow liberally. You know, God has given us, again, gospel resources, an abundance to give. God has given us an abundance of wealth for us. If we're living here in Britain, I mean, there's great financial resources that God has given to us. The thing is, what is the point of that? If the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and I've got whatever in my 401k, it's not being used for God, then we ought to consider investing what we have for God's work. John 9 verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. You know, would I be ashamed today if Jesus Christ came back, and I'm like that steward that said, Lord, I know that you're a fearful person. You gave me that one talent, here it is. I kept it. Or would we be like those that took those five talents and ten talents the Bible speaks about, and invested them for the Lord? And so God helps us to do that. Let's sow broadly, let's sow liberally, and then thirdly, sow hopefully. All Alright, so hopefully, as you sow the good seed, you got to be looking up and saying the blessing is going to come. Verse 3, it says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Okay, the hope of the farmer is rain. Did you see on the news that this has been the frostiest April in like 60 years? Something like that. I think we had close to 20 days of frost here in Scotland in April. And the reason is we had this northerly air coming down, and then we had high pressure that was in place. And with that, it also dried out the soil. So dry soil, I guess, the way it works, actually is quicker to produce the frost as well. But a farmer that is seeking to plant, frost is a bad thing, but so is, the drought. And so they are looking up and trusting that God is going to send them rain. And I like what the verse says. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. When that blessing comes that God sends, then it's going to be poured out upon the earth. Ezekiel 34:26 says, I will make them the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the showers to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Praise God. That's where we get that song from. You know, God is a God that in his timing, he will send what is necessary to germinate that seed, bring that seed to life, and make that seed prosper. The hymn writer took that phrase and he wrote these words, or she did. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior of love. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshment. Come and now honor thy word. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. And the chorus is this. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead. Alright, a farmer is invested fully in his crop, is he not? So he's looking up and saying, God, I've got to have your blessing. I wonder tonight, how hopeful are you for that coming shower? Probably not very hopeful unless you're invested, right? Unless this is what it's about for you, that you're just going to God, I've got to have that blessing. Then there's that hope in your heart. I heard this in Northern Ireland several years ago when Paisley was still alive. The Free Presbyterians were buying up church properties, so that when the revival came, they would have church properties to put the people in. I mean, that's somebody that's sowing in hope. That's somebody that's looking up and believing that God is going to work. And are you sowing in hope tonight? All those areas that we're talking about, whether prayer or evangelism or giving or whatever, just looking up to God and saying, God, I'm just looking to you with hope for your blessing. And so broadly, so liberally, so hopefully. And then fourth, so knowingly. Okay, you're reading this passage, and I believe the whole text here has to do with this idea of sowing and reaping. So you get to this verse, and you might wonder, what's this about? Because it says this, if the tree fall toward the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Okay, I've got a plum tree in my back garden, okay, and it's got... it had two main parts to that tree. And it was a very windy day, as we get here in Scotland. I'll talk about the wind in a second. But a very windy day, and I saw that tree just going like that, and I said to Benson, I said to my wife, I said, I used to love storms and seeing trees go down, but when it's your tree, it's a bit different. Alright? And I said that, I walked away, and when I walked back, I looked out there, and half the tree had fallen down. It was a sapling, okay? That's not what Solomon's thinking about. The tree fallen, there it remained. I walked out, I picked it up, I put it in the bucket, Not a big deal, and praise God, in case you're worried, that tree has come back very nicely. But what he's thinking about is actually what we saw at Pennycook House, over here in Pennycook. And that is a tree that's about 5 feet in diameter that the trail sign said, path closed, fallen tree. I mean, it was huge. It was way more than fill up this room. I mean, it was this high. You couldn't do anything about it. In Solomon's day, a tree like that fell, game over for that field. Right? I mean, it falls there, that's it. And so it does have to do today with this idea. When I sow, I ought to sow knowingly. In other words, what's going to happen if it's within my control, I ought to do everything I can to make that tree fall correctly. In Michigan, where my wife and I were, we had a yellow house that had a big pine tree out back. It was 17 to 18 inches in diameter and just about 10 feet out the back of the house. And I decided I was going to cut it down. We're doing some work in the government, and I thought, I'm going to cut that tree down. And so I did a wedge cut first, which you're supposed to do. You know that cut that comes in like this? And then you do this long cut that comes up to the back of it, and when you come up to here, when you get to the middle, then the tree goes and falls that way. That's how it's supposed to work. So I got that cut, and I got most of the way down with this cut. And it's standing there. It's about 40 feet tall. If it goes this way, it's going to crush my house. I stopped cutting because it didn't fall. And I went inside and I said, honey, don't go into the kitchen. This part of the house is off limits. And I got to pick up, I'm going to the Army surplus store, and I got a rope that had a 2,500 pound tensile strand. And I tied it up to that tree, I tied it up to my pickup. Thankfully, I had enough distance in my garden where I could pull down by the pond, and I could pull that thing and make it fall where I wanted it to fall. I would just say to us tonight, you know, there's some people tonight that when their tree comes down, it's down. And they don't know when that's going to be. They don't know when that point of their death is going to take place. But when their tree falls, it would either fall towards hell or it's going to fall towards heaven. And that's where it's going to stay. See, hell is permanent. Heaven is permanent. Purgatory does not exist. And so somebody that's thinking tonight about salvation needs to understand where their tree falls, it falls. Listen, as we seek to see that person get saved, we ought to hook up any ropes we can in the gospel and do our very best by the grace of God to say, when your tree falls, I want it to fall the right way. Tommy, I'm just going to ask, are you okay?
Okay,
I'm just making sure because I know you got blood sugar issues, so yeah, all right. So you want that tree to come down in the right place. And so we need to think about it. As we're doing our sowing, that we're sowing knowingly, okay, that we're thinking about what am I giving towards? What am I sowing as far as goodness, as far as church attendance, prayer, devotions, other things in my life so that I'm going to get the harvest that I want to get, because when the tree comes down, the tree is coming down. And then fifth, sow faithfully. Okay, as you sow the good seed, sow faithfully. Verse 4 says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, I love this verse because we are in Scotland. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about wind and rain. I mean, two of our favorite topics to complain about, perhaps. But two of the greatest truths about our weather here in Scotland. I found this out. Scotland is the windiest country in Europe. Alright, does that make you feel good or what? And now, for you guys at the Glasgow side, it's windier over there. The western, northern part of Scotland is the windiest. In fact, Orkney and the Shetland Islands have over 30 days with gale force winds per year. The windiest part of the year, 5.2 months from October 27th to April 3rd, has an average wind speed in our nation of 12.4 miles per hour. And I would assume that's at night as well, because I hear it. Alright? I mean, it's windy here. The rainfall in Scotland, the wettest parts of Scotland have 250 days where it rains. The average has 150 days where it rains. Sadly, again, Glasgow, 250. Edinburgh, praise God, listen to this. I got happy when I read this. This cheered me up. 125, they say, about Edinburgh. So I'm just pleased with that. But you know, if you're a farmer in Scotland, what do? If you get up and you look at the clouds, and you go, or you look at the wind, you look at the rain, you're not going to sow, and you're not going to harvest. A farmer in Scotland has to just go, hey, farming is more important than considering all the reasons why I can't get out and do my work today. You know, when it comes to sowing, what's your excuse? See, I've said it, I believe it's true. Satan has a bucket full of excuses. And you want an excuse, you can have it. I mean, you want to sow righteousness, there's a reason not to. You want to sow the gospel, there's a reason not to. You want to sow financially, there's a reason not to. All those areas that we're considering, there is a reason not to. But you got to say, am I just looking at the wind? Am I just looking at the rain? You know, I tell you, it's easy. We just got back from door to door after a year. It's really easy to say, well, we're busy. Well, this. People are going to be cautious because of COVID-19. They're going to be scared. I told them, listen, people were very friendly yesterday. And praise God, we didn't have a single negative experience that we experienced yesterday. I mean, I can tell some people weren't really into God or God's truth or God's word. In fact, I would say they're probably against Him. But that's okay. If I wanted to come up with a reason why I can't, I've got that. So the point is that so faithfully, that means this. I don't stop and go and list the reasons why I can't. I look at the God and say, God, what would you have me do? God would have me to sow, and so I sow regardless. And then sixth tonight, we just have two more points this evening. And the sixth point is sow dependently. Okay, as I sow, I'm just sowing dependence upon God. It says in verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. You know, I grow weary of the headlines about evolution that are out there all the time. You know, I saw this past week, one that said, billion-year-old bones hold key to evolution. Rubbish. But hold the key, you know, to evolution. Listen, that miracle that is a conceived child in the womb of a mother that goes from conception to infancy in 9 months, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 now, a life, either a boy or girl, the sex of the child determined by the Creator. You see that and you just go, wow, do I know how God does that? No, I don't. Even if I was a scientist, I mean, can you really understand life? And so what is it teaching us? It's teaching us that, you know, even in farming, though we can see it physically, do we really understand how that life springs up? But it does. Who is it that does that? God. Therefore what? By the grace of God, as I get involved in sowing, my confidence is this. I don't know the mystery of it. And Father, if frankly, God the Father knows how it's going to work out, and we often do not. We might have ideas about this, but God is going to work this out to His glory. And so if I ask you tonight, do you believe that God is going to give you a harvest from sowing prayer? I read a verse to Katie this afternoon because it says, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, that shall you receive. We got promises that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. But do I really believe that God is going to answer? I might have been praying about this for a while. It might have been something that I'm burdened about. I might have prayed earnestly about it. And the Word of God says, the earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But do I really believe? Am I really dependent upon God about that? Do you really believe that if you honor God with the tithes and offerings, that God is going to meet your financial needs? He's going to provide according to the principles of sowing and reaping in the Bible. Do you believe that it's possible for you to sow righteousness in your life, that your life can get straightened out, that your life can be right in God's sight, that God can make you righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous? Are you sowing in dependence and faith upon God? What about the gospel? We're in Scotland. It's a harder field. I mean, just statistically, we understand that the amount of gospel ministry that we've done has reaped a very small reward. But hey, as far as our part, our ministry, we're 11 years on what we don't know the future, we don't know what's out there, but I would say this, we ought to trust God and sow as faithfully, as diligently as we can, because God is going to work the mystery of salvation in the heart of people. And so do we believe God for them? And so we sow broadly, liberally, hopefully, knowingly, faithfully, dependently, and then lastly, let's sow expectantly. Let's sow, again, with that expectancy that God is going to work. Verse 6, it says, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both alike shall be good. Okay, they both shall be alike good. You know, a farmer farms, he farms anticipated success. And we should as well, as we seek to invest for the Lord. But again, as I mentioned a second ago, it doesn't always happen just as we think it will. There's going to be plenty of times where we go out knocking on doors and somebody comes to church. It has nothing to do with the fact that we knock on their door, but it does have to do with the principle of sowing and reaping. In other words, God is going to bless that, whether we see it directly in that vein, or God does it some other way. It's kind of like this. We think about Abraham. Did Abraham understand that it was going to be 25 years before he reaped the promise that God gave him? 25 years. But did he know that he would reap the promise? Yes. Did Moses know that it would be 40 years in the wilderness before Israel would reap the land? No. But did he know they would reap the land? Yes. You know, the disciples, did they know Jesus would be crucified, buried, ascended, come again before he would reign? No. But he will reign. He's still coming. Right? And so it's the idea that, hey, I haven't seen it, but my expectancy is high. Because God that promised is a God that cannot lie. Habakkuk 2:3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I just want to encourage us tonight. You're praying about something, you're burdened about something, keep praying. God's given you some great promises about the answers of prayer. You're sowing righteousness in your life. Don't stop. Don't take Satan's lie. Why? Because there's an expectancy that harvest is coming. You're burdened to see that loved one get saved. You've given them the gospel. They've heard the gospel. Keep praying in faith. Keep evangelizing in faith. Why? Because it's going to bear a harvest. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, tonight I'm just going to expect it. There's these four areas that we're talking about tonight. You know, a farmer, again, has to look at his field and say, what do I want to grow there? If he ignores it, it's thorns, thistles, and destruction. Tonight in your life, if you just have a life where you're not thinking about your life, your life's just going to be thorns, thistles, and possibly damnation if you're not saved, right? But somebody that stops and thinks about it says, right, I want to put some prayer into my life. I'm going to have a specific prayer time. It's called secret prayer. I'm going to get in my closet, as the Bible speaks about, that place where nobody can disturb me, and God alone knows that I'm there on my knees, and I'm going to seek the face of God, and so in prayer. You know, I ought to be somebody that's sowing righteousness. And so I'm going to attend church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to take the rubbish out of my life. If it's on the telly, it's a disgrace to God. It's not going to be on the telly in my house. That music that is wicked and sensual, and you look at it and you go, that is ungodly, it's immodest, it's indecent, it speaks about wicked things. It's going to have nothing to do with my life because I'm going to sow in my life righteousness. And I'm going to sow the gospel. Because God's given me an abundance of gospel truth. I'm going to get it out there. And yeah, you know, I may not see 100 people saved in my first week in evangelism, but I know this. The harvest will come. So I just wonder tonight, giving as well financially, investing in God's work. As you think about those things tonight, are you sowing broadly? Are you sowing liberally? Are you sowing hopefully, trusting God, knowingly, faithfully, dependently, expectantly? And then tonight, somebody could say, you know, preacher, I'm here tonight, and to be honest, if my tree falls right now, it would fall towards hell. That would be something to stop tonight and say, you know what, that's not okay. I need to deal with that tonight. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, because where the truth falls, there it stays. That ought to put a little bit of fear in the heart of somebody that, again, as we spoke about this morning, you only get to die once, so die well. Die well, be prepared. And then lastly, Christian, we can't have good fields without work, right? It's going to take that sowing. And so God help us to look at our life and say, goodbye, God's grace. I'm going to put this in this week. I'm going to spend some time in prayer, spend some time in evangelism, be diligent about righteousness, and invest in God's work. Let's pray. Father, I just pray tonight, it might be that the Spirit of God has spoken to somebody's heart about one of these things that they need to do better at in their life. Maybe all these things. But certainly we could all benefit by stopping to consider in this past week, what did I sow? If it was a matter of time, how much time did I spend in prayer? How much time did I spend in evangelism? How much time did I spend in righteousness? And Father, how much did I invest in God's work this week? And Father, if there's something in our heart that condemns us about that, we ought to repent of that tonight. Say, you know what? I'm going to reap what I sow. And so, if I neglect that, I'm going to reap a bad harvest. And Father, I especially pray for somebody in their heart tonight to just realize they're not saved and that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, help me have the courage to speak to somebody, whether myself, my wife, about that, even tonight. Or Father, because somebody outside of our church, that you just give them the courage to email, give them the courage to text. Because, Father, they need to get saved. Because if their tree falls, and it could fall at any time, they would perish in hell. And, Father, I just pray against that. We want to do everything we can as a church to try to pull them the other way, to try to pull them to Christ. And so, Father, may they get hooked up to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that they fall on the side of the Savior and put their faith in Him. Would you bless this message to our hearts? Thank you for it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And that just means if the Spirit of God's holding your heart, you're welcome to come up to the front and to pray and to deal with the Lord about something specifically. He's spoken to you specifically about something. And so 546 is the invitation hymn. It's "I Gave My Life for Thee." Okay, and stand please as we sing. "I Gave My Life for Thee, My Precious Blood I Shed." And let me just start the piano here. Thank you. something so wonderful in Christ. And Father, may our hearts just go away encouraging you, strengthened, because of the truth of the Word of God, encouraged to do that which is pleasing in the sight of God. And Father, we pray for your safety for these as they go their way. We pray that the Spirit of God would bind the truth of the Word of God to our hearts tonight. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our time together. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.